Not unlike Anatoly, the Celts had a very different view of the afterlife, or as they called it, the other world. For them, life does not end at death. Rather, your spirit can continue on in many manners. In some instances, your soul can be stolen by a malevolent spirit, and people were chosen to guard dead bodies from these entities to protect the deceased's passage to the other world, just like we talked about last season. On an even more interesting note, the Druidic Celts believe that spirits lived among us by taking over bodies or other living beings, such as animals or plants. Their belief in necromancy went hand in hand with these other practices as well. Maybe these folk tales and cultural facts can explain why Anatoly thought that digging up children from their graves was a good thing to do. Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Haunted Detective Podcast. I'm your favorite host, Kelsey Childs, but everyone knows me as the paranormal Sherlock Holmes. It's been so long since I've actually said that seriously.
It has been a hot minute since you've actually said it, like, all the way through.
It got boring. I got bored.
It's fine. And I'm your favorite skeptic, Pamela J.
Who?
And I'm your favorite Who? Skeptic, Pamela J.
Who?
And I'm your favorite skeptic, Pamela J.
Oh, got it. Okay, thank you. I'll fight you. I'll fight you and then we can kiss.
We can do it. I knew you were going to say that. I don't know why, but I knew it. I knew you were going to be like, I'm going to beat you up and then I'm going to make out with you.
We can punch each other in the mouth with our mouth. Like,
I'm going to kiss you on your forehead.
I'm going to kiss you so violently on your forehead.
Guys, we've been bantering for almost a year now. Full year on this podcast coming up in October.
But we've been bantering for almost 4 years.
That's
in
true.
Real life.
In real life. Now it's just recorded.
I remember I wrote this script for this season and the season after for you. To be my co-host specifically, but you were incapacitated by life.
Incapacitated by life. It's a busy bitch.
But I remember, like, we would just talk on the phone. And I don't know when that started. I don't know when we started calling each other or how we started calling each other.
I don't either.
For like 4 years, it's been like every day.
I know. It's been every day for about 4 years.
It's like we're in a relationship. Like,
it's a long-distance relationship.
If I don't call you, you'll be like, are you okay?
Like, are you okay?
And if you don't call me, I'll be like, Pamela? Like, Pamela, sorry. Are you good?
Usually it's asleep, gym, hike, work.
Mental crisis.
Mental crisis. Which I think this episode is going to cause me to have a mental crisis. Am
I
wrong?
I'm having one.
Joke's on you.
Dude, it was the wildest thing because I was just on the phone with my mother, as one does, right? Just yes. Like having the time of my life on the phone with my mom, and randomly out of the blue, my brain just goes, you're gonna have a panic attack.
This seems like a perfect time for you to spiral.
I'm like, nothing happened. Nothing went down. I was having a perfectly fine conversation. And then I just got this burst of cold in my chest. I was like, wow, the world is really colorful and really bright right now. My mom's like, are you good? I'm like,
nope.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't focus on a single word you're saying. And I'm starting to hyperventilate. And I think I might have COVID. No,
it was
a panic attack.
That's, I think, like, I might have COVID.
That's like, please. When my dad said one of the symptoms of your migraines is not knowing you were having a migraine. One of the symptoms of your panic attack is not knowing you're having.
I feel like if you've had more than one, just more than two or three panic attacks, you know that it's a panic attack at that point. But I mean, there's some that catch you off guard, I will say.
All of this to say, Pamela and I, after spending an entire episode talking about death and the afterlife and our own mortality, as we've said in the last two episodes, because we need to say it, Pamela, what's going to happen?
We're going to die one day. That's why I have eye bags. It's like that one episode. Even my bags have bags. So we're talking about death.
Well, without further ado, we're going to open the case file for episode 3 of Anatoly Moskvin. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not the case file. That's a bomb. Okay, now cue the case file sound. Anatoly Moskvin went to college at Moscow State University. This is where he would study philology. This is the, quote, branch of knowledge that deals with the structure, historical development, and relationships of a language or languages, with a specialization in paganism and Celtic history. This shows a connection to some of the things that ritual could have been based in, some of the reasons he may have exhumed these bodies and turned them into porcelain dolls.
I didn't know that you could specialize, or did he get a minor in paganism?
No, I think he had, from my understanding, Bro had multiple degrees.
Oh, he had multiple degrees. Okay. Because I didn't know that that was a degree option, which I think is super fascinating that you can get that type of education, like that niche. That's crazy, like, because I feel like that's super specific. But it does make me wonder if maybe all of that happened because of the, like, maybe he wanted to go into all of that crazy stuff because of what happened to him as a kid. Maybe it just piqued his interest. It's kind of like how kids that had to unfortunately grow up in like harder circumstances, or maybe they had to deal with like family members in and out of prison or things like that, how they end up being a part of the criminal justice like system as a police officer or a bailiff, or maybe they go to law school. So like usually something inspires someone as a kid to like research into something. So maybe that's what it is. But I mean, we also don't know if that story even happened because it seems crazy.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, everything is connected in the grand scheme of things, whether it's you not believing in ghosts, me believing in ghosts, Anatoly Moskvin turning children into porcelain dolls. It's genuinely all connected.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting version.
Because this is the season I'm going to convince you that ghosts are real. I play a lot of video games while watching and reading primarily the fantasy and horror genre, and I've seen a lot of stuff out there about necromancy and magic. A lot of these popular games and shows aren't very far off with their depiction of necromancers, but they're missing one key item. And I'm very sorry to disappoint you guys. Necromancy was originally used to contact spirits with no intention of fully raising them from their graves. Don't think Frankenstein, think Long Island Medium. The practice was intended for these people to be granted information from the dead. Those who practiced this were considered proficient magicians who created a circle in what was usually a final resting place. The circle was used to protect them from potentially dangerous spirits who might have perished in a violent manner. The dead with a violent ending had remaining vitality that could be utilized.
So he learned how to do necromancy?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But this is very, very deeply ingrained in Celtic mythology, folklore, and culture in general.
Okay, so you just learned about it.
These magicians would take parts of the corpse and use them for different magical purposes. So necromancy can be traced all the way back to ancient Babylon or Mesopotamia, where being a necromancer was a legitimate job.
Okay. How would one know if they actually got into contact with somebody? Like, would they speak through them? Would they be the only one to hear the message? I don't know.
We will get into that.
Okay.
There are many different ways and there are many different answers to this.
Okay.
A lot of it is lost to time.
Okay. Because that's interesting.
Well, I mean, honestly, yeah, I don't want to say it's likely that a lot of these necromancers were not legitimate necromancers, because even back in the Mesopotamian era, they were still con artists. They were still bad people.
Right. So, like, that's kind of what I'm thinking is what was going on.
But this is a very sacred practice. So There are actually writings found of this, and the earliest written reference of a necromancer can be found in ancient Assyria. So again, a lot of this is lost time. In Mesopotamia, there was a common belief that after death, a person's spirit went to Kanugi, aka the land of no return. If that isn't unsettling, I don't know what is.
No, it is. Very unsettling.
A similar belief system can be traced to other cultures across history as well. It's interesting that Anatoly, a scholar who was well-versed in the Celtic culture, believed that he needed to save these children because in so many ways, it's counterintuitive and sacrilegious, I would say.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense for him to get involved.
Yeah. Celts use necromancy or their form of it to commune with the dead and gather information. Much like what we just discussed, they preferred to keep the dead, well, dead. It was common to use what is called an auricular head to perform these rituals. An auricular head is pretty much what it sounds like. It's a head or skull that was detached from its body and perfectly, to a T, preserved, and it could speak.
Huh?
Yep.
No.
Basically, this allowed spirits to use it as a vessel to communicate through. In other cases, this head was that of an enemy who could give the pagans or druids information to keep them safe.
That's actually bonkers to me. Like, a head? That would kind of stink.
No, it was preserved in such a way. And I mean, from my understanding, people back then weren't as like unsanitary as you would assume. Like the Vikings, for instance, were very, very clean. Like they were meticulous.
Yeah, I just think the whole talking through a head, a detached head thing is the part kind of getting to me.
Well, Celts also viewed the realm between the living and the dead as practically non-existent. It was easy to reach out to one from the other. Our popular holiday, Halloween, is originally called Samhain, spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, very commonly mispronounced as Samhain or Salmon. Yes.
Ah.
It's Samhain.
Salmon.
It was a time of year just before the cold set in, where the veil between the living and the dead thinned further, making it easier to communicate with their ancestors.
I will say that is a comforting thought, though. If you truly believe in that, that the veil between the living and the dead is actually a lot thinner, and then on a one day it becomes even thinner, then like, I think that that's a beautiful thing. I think that's great. That would be comforting. To be like, death isn't scary because we're in this thing and then you're going to go to that thing.
You're
it's
over
not
here?
A big deal. Like, we can talk to the
and
people
then
that are in
go
the
over
other
there.
Thing.
And we're over here.
Right. Like, it makes it not scary. Like, it makes it not scary at all. So I appreciate that. But that's if you have, like, you know, belief.
It was a very, very important ritual. The deceased who were contacted were responsible for predicting the weather conditions to come to help these tribes properly prepare. The Celtic tribes would then celebrate with a feast while dressing up to honor the dead.
I mean, I think that's beautiful. It sounds positive in a way. It sounds like they just communicated with, like they just had a talk. They're like, what do we need to do? Oh, it's going to be a bad winter. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, it was vital. It was vital to their survival. So last season we talked about the Catchi, and we're going to be talking about some that are a little less lighthearted and a little more disturbing. Anatoly Moskvin believed that he was protecting these children from the cold darkness of the afterlife by bringing them home. While corpses were never desecrated in their culture, they were actually protected for days or weeks after death from soul-snatching entities, much like the Catchi. So, studying this culture and seeing these entities and learning about them and really fully engrossing his life in their stories, to me it makes sense that Anatoly might have some belief that dead bodies needed to be protected.
Yeah, I mean, and he, according to that, what he told the families is that he really believed that he was helping. So it's a really weird situation because at the end of the day, you shouldn't be touching other people's family members when they're in their resting place. That's just really fucked up. But it's interesting to think that he might have thought he was actually saving them from some type of purgatory or maybe some type of thing that was trying to snatch them. So that's an interesting theory.
I do agree. Well, to further my theory, many of you may know the story of the Headless Horseman from Irving Washington's story based in Sleepy Hollow, right down the street from where I grew up. So I was obsessed with the Headless Horseman. I used to scour the library in elementary school and read all of the books about him. It was actually like legitimately America's first ghost story.
Yeah. I remember learning about the Headless Horseman. I was fascinated by it.
Dude, you were all the way across state lines, man.
I know, all the way across state lines.
Well, what if I told you that New York isn't the only place a Headless Horseman appears? I mean, we did talk about the fact that there's one in the Black Forest in Germany.
Yes.
And another in Celtic folklore. His name was the Dullahan.
The Dullahan.
That's a much more menacing and fear-provoking name, if you ask me. The Dullahan.
The Dullahan! He's coming! He's coming to get you! Fear the Dullahan!
Oh no! The Headless Horseman! He's racing towards me!
He is another example of how life continued after death in the culture that Anatoly studied. He is rather scary. I know that personally, I'd fucking pee my pants if I ever encountered him.
What is he supposed to look like? Like, I know that the Headless Horseman has like what is it, 1700s or 1800s clothing. What is the Dullahan supposed to look like?
Oh, girl, you have no idea. He is described.
You're right, I don't. I don't have an idea.
He is described as a headless man riding a black horse or on a carriage led by six horses, with flames coming out of their eyes, nostrils, and hooves due to the, quote, speed at which they ride. He has a long black coat and is known to lift his severed head above him to see his surroundings better. His head is typically nothing more than bones or has a rotting complexion and smell. In this case, he holds it up by its hair.
So that it kinky sounds motherfucker. Just like...
What?
I was going to say, so it sounds just like the Our Headless Horseman in New York.
Kind of, a little spookier. In this case,
yeah,
he has like, his skin is like rotting and like gnawed at by maggots, like the Corpse Bride.
Oh, okay. So like Our Headless Horseman has the jack-o'-lantern head.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'll take my little Disney version of the Dullahan. It really is. We Disney-fied him.
Before Disney was even a thing.
Yeah, we Disney-fied him. We're like, you know what? That's too scary. Make him have a jack-o'-lantern.
It is pointless to lock your doors or the gates to your village in order to keep a monster like this at bay. He is ruthless in his quest for a soul to steal. Anyone who sees him is immediately blinded, either at the hands of his whip made from human spines or a bucket of blood that he chucks at them.
Okay, that's... a little much, dude. Relax. We get it. You're scary. Stop.
The Dullahan can only talk once a night and does so to speak the name of his victim. He is known as a soul stealer or an omen, a harbinger of death. There is no stopping the inevitable passing of the name that he speaks.
Okay, so he's like the Grim Reaper.
I'm going to paint myself to look exactly like your walls, and then I'm just going to whisper your name at night. Pamela J. And then I'll just like get coconuts and do hoof beats.
Hold! Where have you been, Loka? Come get me. I'm so tired of paying bills. You saved me. Like in the deepest voice, like goblin voice. He's like, what the fuck? Are you scared? No?
I think I got the wrong guy.
Writing bitch.
Did I say Pamela? I meant Samuel.
And then he just gallops away into the night. Yeah, just sexually harass the Doulahan, and then he'll leave you alone.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I was pissed at Bloody Mary. Like, it's sorry. Be better. Be scarier.
Imagine like your fucking sleep paralysis demon. You're like, Daddy! Oh, oh my God, I've been waiting for you, Pookie Bear, my little kitten.
I love you so much.
I'm naked under these covers.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And he's like, I'm just gonna go back the way I came.
Yeah. Are you?
I feel violated. Yeah, I need an adult.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
It's like Monsters, Inc. They come back through the door and he's like sweating. He's like, what just happened?
He's like, I don't know. There's a fucking bitch in there. She's so mean.
How was she mean? She wanted to have sex with me.
She kept trying to tell me to take my clothes off.
I'm not wearing clothes. I'm a monster.
But she made me feel really weird. And I just came home. Just, I don't know. Can we like shred this door or something? No one should go in there ever.
Yet another spirit threatening the souls of the living and dead is the Banshee, a rather common term in modern day ghost stories. Here is another nefarious spirit that Anatoly could be aware of and, in his mind, could have strengthened the need to protect the souls of these children. She originated from the Celts and is either described as a vengeful or mournful spirit, or something from the Fae realm, which we know about because we talked about this last season. Yeah?
We did, yes.
She haunts the countryside of Ireland. The Banshee is drawn towards a specific home, and when she arrives, poltergeist activity will ensue. She, too, is a harbinger of death. The Banshee takes the terrifying form of a woman who has pale skin, ragged white hair, and a tattered dress. She is said to be of the fairy realm, or a spirit who has unfinished business. If you see her washing blood from a soon-to-be victim's clothes or hear her shrieking, then you or someone in your family will be next to die.
Soon-to-be victim's clothes?
Soon-to-be victim's clothes.
So, like, what if you, like, went to bed in, like, an old Motley Crue t-shirt? Is she gonna, like, have that and, like, be washing blood out of it?
It's, like, more so, like, your neighbor is walking along the river and they see this, like, unusually pale woman with like really weird clothing. She looks like she's been recently murdered or something.
Oh.
And she has your Motley Crue t-shirt and she's washing it aggressively in the river. They're like, hey, that's Pamela's t-shirt.
Yeah, you're gonna tear a hole in it if you wash it that hard.
I think I should go check on Pamela.
It's a vintage and then you're just t-shirt.
Then you're just dead the next day. Because, you know, things move slower. They're like, your house isn't a hop, skip, and a jump away. It's a day away. And you're dead. And you died that day.
Oh, well, that's like super depressing. And I'm going to think about that later.
And she screams. Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that she yells.
Much like we previously discussed, the Celts relied on their ability to communicate with the dead, to learn about the future, and most importantly, they took that information to protect themselves from the cold temperatures of the winter months. When we look into beliefs like this, we start to see some holes in Anatoly's claims. Let's say he really did want to protect these children and our deductions are correct. The Celtic belief system never aligned with his need to bring these children back from the dead. But then again, he didn't need their protection or future sight. It was vital to the survival of the Celts to commune with the dead, and over time, it became a sacred practice. At this point, we really are seeing some inconsistencies.
I was going to say, is he just cherry-picking from different, like, cultures?
Is that not what religion is? Are there cultures that actually live with corpses?
No.
We might have our next talking point. But the dolls are also an interesting fact.
I've noticed that I've seen dolls being associated with mediums as in like a way for them to be like a vessel, like a talking vessel, similar to like the head that was used.
The auricular head.
Correct.
The head of the oracle, yes.
Correct.
Well, just as relevant as paganism is the fact that mediums are a huge part of society nowadays. These are individuals who, much like Anatoly, believe on a deep and spiritual level that they can communicate with the dead. Being a medium isn't nearly as glamorous as films, books, and games make it out to be. Although Sixth Sense really, really did not make it glamorous, and neither did Insidious, so I might take that back.
Insidious scarred me.
As someone who can also communicate with spirits, I can speak firsthand on this. It's terrifying and draining.
I mean, it doesn't sound fun.
Most of the time, we don't see spirits in our physical world, or as others fondly call it, realm. The theory is that spirits reside on the other side of the veil, which is the boundary between our realm and the one that ghosts and spirits inhabit when they're stuck on Earth. I like to refer to what I do as such. I have one foot on each side of the veil. You're looking at me. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, because if you have a fear of mortality, right?
Yes.
So are you more scared of death itself? Because if you are able to speak to spirits and see spirits, wouldn't that make you less scared?
No.
So it doesn't help. I would think it would.
I do this thing and I've proven it multiple times, verifiable.
Okay.
And then I think to myself, oh God, what if I'm wrong? And then I get a panic attack.
So your mortality scare is because you second guess your medium abilities.
No, I gaslight myself.
Okay.
No, literally every time something crazy happens, I spend about 20 to 30 minutes at least trying to disprove it.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm just insane. I'm just like psychotic. I'm like literally not even here right now. I'm just sitting in a padded room somewhere like...
This podcast is brought to you by your local asylum.
Pamela. And they're like looking through the double-sided mirror. They're like, she keeps saying Pamela. Who is that?
She died 47 years ago.
Pamela. Pamela J. Pamela J. Pamela J. And they're like, oh, I gotta write this down. She's doing it again.
She keeps rocking back and forth.
Just slamming my head into the wall. Pamela.
The plot twist is that your psychologist is just named Pamela.
And she's like, guys, I want a different case.
I quit.
No, because you literally would.
This girl.
You literally would quit. That's the thing.
I would. I would quit because that would scare the shit out of me. I'm not even a psychologist, nor do I work in an asylum, but that would scare the shit out of me. But I'm surprised. I would think that maybe it would make you feel a little more, I don't know. I don't think happy is the word.
Girl, did I not tell you? I was driving in the car and I just got a panic attack.
About
I'm
what?
I'm not mentally well. I don't know.
Okay.
I said that about in the what? Intro. Do you not listen to me?
No, I do. Because I understand. They just come on randomly. Nothing triggers them. One time I was watching a Progressive commercial. And I don't know what happened. Flo was just really irking me. Just kidding. I love you, Flo. You're great. Bundle your home and auto, not sponsored, whatever the hell.
It is important to build an air of validity around the modern day practice of mediumship. There are so many stories that we could look into, but medium solving murders and cold cases provide the most concrete evidence that people can speak and commune with the dead, like Anatoly claimed. Ashley Howley was 20 years old when she went missing in 2004. She reportedly told police that her boyfriend Robert had physically attacked her. She was supposed to go to her friend's house, but never made it. It took her mother 1 month to report her missing. And at the same time, her car was found abandoned. Law enforcement knew that her boyfriend had done something to her, but with no evidence and no body, it was impossible to prove. Because of this, the case went cold. It was 1 year after Ashley went missing that Christy Robinette, a medium, saw her ghost. The ghost woke Christy up in the middle of the night. She didn't know it was Ashley until the spirit introduced herself as such. Christy had already made a name for herself with local law enforcement, and they trusted her and her abilities. It's the fact that she had no idea about Ashley's disappearance or the case in general, as it was getting pretty much no media attention, that makes this so interesting. When she started researching the case and saw Ashley's picture, she immediately knew that it was her ghost who contacted her. When Christy talked to police, she gave them enough information and details that were not public knowledge for her story to be brought to the Howley family. After multiple encounters, Christy described Ashley's ghost as, quote, vengeful, and made a point of saying that she wanted justice. Christie, the police, and Howley's followed Ashley's ghost to the spot where her boyfriend at the time buried her. The unmarked grave was located on private property, so it took authorities an additional 3 years to find her. Her body was there, though, exactly where Christie said it would be. In 2008, Robert McMichael was charged with the murder of Christie Howley.
That's insane. Like, also incredibly sad, because that's, like, what? I've never understood the whole, like, boyfriend just murdering girlfriend over just literally because they just want control over a human being. But that's a whole other episode. But I've heard of mediums getting involved in true crime and cases. And I will say that while this is very fascinating, and I think it's cool that there was a police force that was open enough to really dig into that, but there's a lot of frauds, and I think that gives mediums a bad name. Because I've met some really cool mediums, and one, you being included, and obviously, you idiot. So with that, I've met some really cool ones that are very down to earth, and you know, they don't see themselves as like a god or something, but there's definitely some that are fake. And they try to help with these investigations. So,
or they just say things about other people.
They say things and it's weird. And like there was one, I cannot remember her name, but she was all over the news and she was known for being a fake medium and like pretending to help with cases. And like she was a big name and I can't remember her name, but it was in an episode that I did while you were sick and I was with Tyson. I can't remember her name for the life of me. Something Brown maybe. But she went on a whole thing talking about how she was a medium and how she had a whole TV show and that she could talk to the dead. And she was trying to help this grieving mother. And I think it was the Cleveland case. Yes, it was the Cleveland case, because one of the girls that was there was a man who had kidnapped these. I think it was four girls.
Sylvia Brown.
Sylvia Brown. She was the medium that pretended to know what happened to one of the victims, Amanda. And she actually, Amanda was alive.
Oh, I remember this. She said she was dead, didn't she?
I think she said she was dead. I'd have to relook at it. But that was like massive. And I remember learning about that. And that made me into even more of a non-believer in these types of people, because I was like, so you used this grieving mother who all she wanted was answers and to find her daughter alive and well. And you not only made money off of it, but you got fame. You got like notoriety from it, and you were bullshit. Like you were full of shit. And that's what pisses me off. Like that pisses me off is when people fake abilities just because they think it's cool and it's quirky. And I'm like, no, you're affecting real people. It's one thing for you to pretend to be a medium to like for
TikTok.
For TikTok, which that's problematic in its own ways because they still use it for true crime. But anyway, just why are you getting involved? Like, why are you getting involved in cases? There's real people. Like, get the fuck out. Pisses me off.
Okay, so here's the thing with this episode is I was supposed to have Scotty in here with us for this section. Scotty, the New Jersey medium, look him up on all platforms. Incredible, great, has helped me a lot with my abilities. Can't seem to nail him down. Very busy dude, has a full job on the side of being a medium, has kids, the whole shebang.
Whole nine yards.
So, the whole nine yards. Couldn't get him in for this episode, but we will eventually. It is clear that Anatoly did not practice religion that was traditional to the world at the time. And that settles it. We need to do some research on what other cultures Anatoly might have been borrowing from with how and why he wanted to live with these corpses. Haunted dolls are also important. There are so many stories of dolls who hold a spirit or something else inside of them. I'm talking about dolls that are worse than Annabelle. And if you think that's bad, just wait until you hear about the island in Mexico dedicated to dolls and ghosts.
Oh, I actually know about that one. Creepy, nonetheless.
It's a real thing. But anyways, before we talk about closing the case file and read our review for the day, I just wanted to remind you, stay after the review if you're a Patreon subscriber, because we are doing a Patreon section. Woo! Kelsey and Pamela can't afford bonus episodes, so we're doing bonus segments.
Ayo.
So for today, Pamela, would you like to choose a review?
Oh, yeah. This one... This one is from Chris14D. Chris said, I really, really wanted to like this podcast. I was so excited to find a different podcast to listen to. The topics are great, but the stories just kind of goes sideways. And then it sounds like two old friends recording themselves having a great time.
Oh, I'm God forbid.
Trying to bash. Literally, you said I'm not trying to bash, but you're actively bashing. I'm not trying to bash. I'm really not. There just needs to be some changes made. Chris, you are listening to what is essentially talk radio, right? Talk radio walked so that podcasting, podcasters, and podcasts could run. So what you're telling me is that you're upset that the two co-hosts that you're listening to have a relationship to where they can talk to each other and have opinions and conversation aside from the story? So then watch a documentary, Chris.
That reminds me.
So real right now. Like, if you don't like side conversation, I haven't heard one podcast that doesn't have side conversation. Because unless sometimes it's just like- you just... there's some that are just documentary based. Or they're just scary stories and it's just someone reading a scary story in a narration tone.
That reminds me of the one left on August 1st by KJ1096. This is good. I just wish more time was given to the actual story.
Then watch a fucking documentary. Like, if you don't like hearing conversation, then why are you listening to podcasts?
Please hold. Please hold. It takes me, if I were to sit down, not eat, not drink, not sleep, not pee, not do anything in the bathroom, it would take me a solid probably 48 hours straight to write an episode. I would just like to tell you what one episode of scripting is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11 pages.
Also, I think that podcasts are so designed for people who just like almost have an ADHD brain. Because like I can go from like a million topics and I can still go back to the one that we're talking about.
It's like going to a concert and being like, I didn't like when the singer talked to the crowd.
Yeah, that pissed me off. How dare you be a person? That shit's annoying. What? Then go listen to the studio recording. Like, I don't know what... Shut up.
Yeah, the concert was so fun, but it was just really loud. The singer talked too much instead of singing, and the crowd was just wild. My brother in Christ, you're at a Cannibal Corpse concert.
Cannibal Corpse?
I don't know. This was the first thing that
the
came to head.
What the fuck is that? What the hell is
They're literally banned in 7 countries.
I can see why. Their name alone.
Someone made, I'll show you this once we go into the Patreon segment. I'll start it off with this. But if you want to hear the guy that turned Cannibal Corpse into jazz music, lounge music, then keep listening. But we're going to close the case file for today. Don't forget to leave us a nice review. You'll be featured in next episode or 2 episodes because it takes 2 weeks, I think. Or so for a review to come through. We don't even see it for like half a week.
It takes a while. Yeah, it takes a while.
So yeah, you can also, if you listen on Spotify, we have comments turned on. So you can leave a review on there. But anyways, Pamela, would you like to do the honors of closing the case file for the day?
Remember that new episodes come out every Wednesday at midnight because we decided to change it from Monday. So take off your, what do we say, glass slippers and put in your Lowell slippers.
Smash them to the ground.
Get your fuzzy socks. Get that nice chamomile tea or whatever the hell you like.
Your flashlight.
Or if it's in the morning, like I said, do not text and drive. Do not operate your phone while operating a motor vehicle. Please don't die. And we're going to see you next time. If you're watching on YouTube, and if you're not watching on YouTube, then you're going to hear us next time. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.